Let's get down to business. Taking a look at Wall Street, Dow Jones Industrial Average up 2 at 21,005. The S&P 500 index up 1 at 2,383. NASDAQ Composite up 9 at 5,870. Russell 2000 small and mid caps down 1 at 1,394. Yield on the 10-year Treasury moved up a fraction at 2.49%. Oil up 58 cents at $53.19 per barrel. And gold up 30 cents at $12.34.30 per ounce. The S&P 500 and NASDAQ posted their sixth consecutive week of gains this week. The S&P gained 0.7% for the week. The NASDAQ ended the week with a 0.4% gain. The Dow finished the week 0.9% higher, booking a fourth consecutive weekly gain, and of course, topping 21,000. Janet Yellen delivered a key speech in Chicago today. This was the Fed chairwoman's last chance to shift market expectations before the mid-March Fed meeting. Happens on the Ides of March. There will be essentially a blackout period on policymakers' public appearances. Under Yellen's leadership, the Fed has always given the markets clear guidance when it was going to raise interest rates and has not moved unless there is at least a 70% chance of a move being priced in by the futures markets. Well, the futures markets are now pricing in a rate hike. Yellen was straightforward. She expects to raise rates this month, barring any unpleasant economic surprises. Rates remain low, historically, supporting economic growth by encouraging borrowing and risk-taking. But Fed officials have increasingly concluded that the economy is nearing the end of its recovery from the 2008 financial crisis, and that maintaining low rates could increase growth to an unsustainable pace. In the past week or so, we've had a steady stream of Fed officials making hawkish calls. Fed Vice Chair Stanley Fischer also delivered a speech today, effectively putting a cherry on top of the rate hike message. Fischer was asked about comments by other Fed officials this past week that have boosted market odds of a March rate hike, and he replied, "Well, if there has been a conscious effort to raise expectations for a rate hike, I'm about to join it." Now, just to refresh your memory, the Fed does not raise interest rates at the beginning of a business cycle. Rather, it comes at the latter stages of the cycle. And you could argue that the higher rates actually hasten the end of the cycle, but that's a chicken-egg debate. The point is that the business cycle has not been repealed and the current cycle is old, and we have seen recessions following tightening cycles, most recently in 2000 and 2008, but it doesn't hold that tightening cycles cause recessions. What does follow tightening cycles is a period of market indecision, and traders and investors digest the implications of higher rates. Now, this usually plays out over a 12-month period. The last two rate hikes were so small and gradual that they barely registered, but that looks like it could change this year. Financial stocks posted strong gains this week because rising rates tend to boost bank profits, not like they really need the help. American banks raked in record profits last year. Not only did the banking industry notch its third year of record profits in the past four, but FDIC statistics published this week showed that loan growth was strong and the number of problem banks fell to a seven-year low. Yellen told Congress last month that U.S. banks are quite profitable and considered quite strong relative to their counterparts. Yellen credited the fact that American banks quickly built up capital after the crisis, quote, as a result of our insistence they do so. I can just see Jamie Dimon now writing his thank you notes to Janet Yellen and to Dodd and Frank. The Institute for Supply Management said its non-manufacturing index rose to 57.6 last month from 56.5 in January. Any reading over 50 signals that more businesses are expanding instead of contracting. Attorney General Jeff Sessions said he will recuse himself from any current or future investigations related to Trump's election campaign, this following backlash over his testimony about contacts with Russia. Sessions said he did nothing wrong by failing to disclose that last year, while he was a senator and Trump's campaign ally, he met with Russia's ambassador. Vice President Mike Pence regularly used personal email to conduct public business while serving as governor of Indiana. The private email account was first reported by the Indianapolis Star, which also reported that the AOL account was compromised last year by hackers. The paper cited emails obtained through a public records request. Pence used that account to discuss matters ranging from security at his residence to how the state was responding to terror incidents around the world. The White House is proposing to cut a quarter of the EPA's budget targeting climate change programs and those designed to prevent air and water pollution like lead contamination. Mexico's economy minister went to Detroit today. In a speech to the Detroit Economic Club, Ildefonso Guajardo said NAFTA needed to be updated. He doesn't agree, however, that the U.S. auto industry has gotten the short end of the stick. Topics including labor and environmental standards are among those Guajardo is ready to renegotiate. However, he says Mexico will not accept any tariffs passed by the U.S. regarding the exchange of goods across the border. The Mexican peso rallied after U.S. Secretary of Commerce Wilbur Ross said a new mechanism should be created to stabilize the exchange rate. Ross said the peso could recover quite a lot if the U.S. can reach a sensible agreement with Mexico on NAFTA. Visa. Don't leave home without it. The European Parliament has passed a non-binding resolution calling for the reintroduction of visa requirements for American citizens, raising the stakes in a long-running battle over the U.S.'s refusal to grant visa-free access to citizens of five European Union countries. European lawmakers played tit-for-tat in their dispute with the U.S., demanding restrictions on American travelers unless the Trump administration lifts travel requirements for citizens of Bulgaria, Croatia, Cyprus, Poland, and Romania. The Scottish National Party is calling for a second referendum to vote on staying in the Euro Union, a move that could potentially break up the United Kingdom, which is moving ahead with Brexit. Today, British Prime Minister Theresa May took aim at Scotland's ruling party, accusing nationalists of sacrificing not only the United Kingdom, but also Scotland, with its, quote, obsession with securing independence. May said, "A tunnel vision nationalism, which focuses only on independence at any cost, sells Scotland short." Well, remarkably, May delivered her speech in Glasgow without any sense of irony. Samsung Group leader J.Y. Lee will go on trial for bribery and embezzlement on Thursday for his role in a corruption scandal that's rocked South Korea. Lee, the 48-year-old third-generation leader of the country's top conglomerate, was indicted on Tuesday on charges including pledging $37 million in payments to a confidant of President Park. Spotify hit 50 million paid subscribers. The streaming music service said it grew 25% in less than 6 months, extending its lead over its closest rival, Apple Music, which had about 20 million subscribers in December. Stockholm-based Spotify remains unprofitable. Snap had a monster debut yesterday. Shares of the social media company shot up 44% in their market debut, giving Snapchat's parent company a market cap of more than $33 billion. Snap is now bigger than Macy's, which has a cap of $10 billion, Twitter, $11.3 billion, American Airlines, $23 billion, and Target, $32.9 billion. The Snap IPO made many people very rich yesterday. The company's two founders are now worth an estimated $5.3 billion. And a high school in Mountain View, California also had a very big day. 4 years ago, St. Francis, a private Catholic school, invested $15,000 in the LA-based tech company. That investment sold yesterday for about $24 million. Daimler, parent of Mercedes-Benz, says it is bringing the latest concept version of its first pickup truck to the Geneva Motor Show later this month as a luxury midsize model. It will likely become the coolest new pickup truck that Americans won't ever be allowed to buy. It's called the Mercedes-Benz X-Class. When it hits showrooms later this year, X-Class will be sold in what Mercedes says are a bunch of key markets. And apparently the U.S. is not included as a key market for the moment. About 308,000 Mercedes-Benz vehicles across the U.S. will be recalled soon because of a potential fire hazard. The problem has been linked to 35 car fires. Daimler determined there's an issue with an engine part that can cause an electrical fire. The recall includes certain C, E-Class vehicles as well as CLA, GLA, and GLC vehicles. The Financial Stability Oversight Council met late Thursday afternoon to review its designation of a non-bank firm as too big to fail. According to a statement from the Treasury Department, they didn't name the firm, but there are only three non-bank companies that have been labeled as significantly important financial institutions to date, and that's AIG, Prudential, and MetLife. Earlier this week, much of the internet ground to a halt when the servers that power them suddenly vanished. The servers were part of S3, Amazon's popular web hosting service, and when they went down, they took several big services with them. Amazon said it all started with a typo. Tuesday morning, members of the S3 team were debugging the billing system. As part of that, the team needed to take a small number of servers offline. Unfortunately, one of the inputs to the command was entered incorrectly, and a larger set of servers was removed. Amazon said the servers that were inadvertently removed supported two other S3 subsystems. The subsystems were important. Amazon said that one of them manages the metadata and location information of all S3 objects in the region, and without its services that depend on it, it couldn't perform basic retrieval and storage tasks. And well, suddenly the cloud seems very vulnerable. Dow up 2, finishing the week at 21,005. S&P 500 up 1 at 2383. NASDAQ Composite up 9 at 5,870. As always, follow along at moneyradio.com, live streaming and archived audio. And the daily blog is eatthebankers.com. That's eatthebankers.com.